And they, the people, shall wander sea to sea, coast to coast. They shall run to and fro, seeking the word of the Lord, but shall not find it. When the rapture happens and the church leaves and God removes his current way that the Holy Spirit moves in all of our lives, the devil is going to see to it that God's word is removed from the human's ability. Well, why would God do that? Because he has had the word of God ever since humans have been around. To be honest, most of us struggle with, should I get in the word today? Yeah, no, I don't feel like it. That's why we say around here, word, worship, prayer, and fellowship. The word every day. God is going to give a whole population of planet Earth a taste of what it's like without his word. And do not harm, or that is to say, be very careful with the oil and the wine. The most common staples that we take for granted, the most disregarded, become the most precious. There's not going to be toiletries, beauty aids, basic spices. The things we take for granted. Global rationing and controls. And who is going to be in charge of divvying out all of these things? The Antichrist is. And you can't get these things unless you take the mark of the beast, as we'll see in Revelation 13, and you can't buy nor sell unless you have the mark. That is why the people that do become believers, they're going to pay with their lives. Verse 7. And then he opened the fourth seal. And I heard the voice of the fourth living creature saying, come and see, or go. So I looked, and behold, there was a pale horse. It's the Greek word chloros. It's where we're going to get our word chlorine. Green and sickly. And the name of him who sat upon it was death. And hell, Hades, followed after him. Daniel 2 tells us, through peace, he will make war with many. Through peace, he will conquer, and many will die. Following him is the war. Following that, of course, is the famine. Following famine is going to be worldwide sicknesses. In Leviticus, this is the same color, this pale color, is the word used of leprosy. And power was given to them over a quarter of the earth. We're coming up on a little more than 7 billion people. So what's the math on that? That is billions of people. Billions of people are going to perish. Over a quarter of the earth to kill with a sword, with hunger, with death. And this is interesting to me, by beasts. And most of us think, so there's going to be lions roaming around? Well, there might be lions. But let me ask you this. What beast has been responsible for more deaths of more humans than any other beast? It's probably the great white shark. You know what it is? The mosquito. Isn't the mosquito the state bird of Minnesota? I think, yeah. When they were building the railroad, they ran out of iron spikes, no problem. They captured mosquitoes, broke off their nose, and hammered those in. That's not what happened. The mosquito. Last year alone, 1.2 million people perished because of malaria. This word for beasts in Greek is therion, and it means frightful at any size. After World War I, by the way, how many of you remember the terrible influenza that swept the globe? Because soldiers were being transported all around the planet, you see. And we had the ability to ship large groups of humans from one section to a new section where the immunities weren't quite acclimated. After World War I, 20 million humans died. That was from the flu. Also, 6 million more died from typhus. Typhus alone, which is carried by lice, typhus alone has killed 200 million people. So God is saying beasties, and you're thinking of lions and tigers and bears. Thank you. And you're thinking lions and tigers and bears and great white sharks. No, this is the Greek word therion. They're frightful and they're of any size. Ezekiel 14 verse 21 says, how much more when I send my four judgments upon Jerusalem, sword, famine, beasts, and pestilence. The Black Plague of Europe. You remember that one? Do you remember how many people died? 75 million people died. Every single religious and ethnic group, none of them was exempt, except for one, the Jews. In Europe, where one in four humans were dying of the Black Plague, it wasn't visiting the Jews at nearly that rate. And because of that, many people got really mad at them. Why do you suppose that the Jews fared through that much better? Because nobody believed that there were little tiny little beasties smaller than the eye could see. We know now that that's, of course, different. Because they obeyed the law of hygiene, that's why they weren't affected. But, of course, superstitiously, many of these people, they went and persecuted many of them. With God taking his hands off, man running the show, let's take a quick assessment. War instead of peace. Terrible famine instead of prosperity, worldwide unstoppable disease, and upwards of 1.75 to 2 billion people are gone. And who do they blame? They come after the Christian and the Jew. Verse 9, and when he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar. Remember that Moses built, according to pattern, the tabernacle and the courtyard and the brazen altar in the front, lavered just behind the big wall of water, and then to the tabernacle itself, which was divided into two rooms. God said to Moses, this is according to pattern, this is happening in the Lord's heaven right now. There is a brazen altar. There is an altar of sacrifice that literally does reside in heaven. On earth, what did you do? You brought your sin offering, and then it was burned. It was judged, as it were, on that altar. What happened to the blood? They worked out a series of drainage systems underneath that would flow underneath the brazen altar and then away from the site. Gallons and gallons and gallons of blood from the sacrifices that would drain under this altar. These people that are dying now, these are the tribulation saints. See, God says that the gates of hell will not prevail against my church. God sees to it that we are supernaturally protected. But after the church is gone, do you see how it's a different ballgame? And we saw earlier that the Antichrist is given a certain license, a certain freedom to attack and be successful over God's anointed. There are people that do become Christians, but they pay for their faith with their lives. This whole butchering of the Christians starts as an organized or proper institution because they're blaming the Christians for all of this. Right in your margin, Revelation 7, verses 9 through 17, it describes this horrible event. Verse 10. And they cried with a loud voice, these disembodied spirits that are residing in heaven under this altar. And here's what they're saying. How long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth, those that are running amok? I have to let the humans try to govern the humans while Satan is running crazy with my hands off for a while to show them something. Verse 11, then a white robe was given to each of them, and it was said to them that they should rest a little while longer until both of the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who would be killed as they were was completed. At the end of the great tribulation, these disembodied spirits get their new bodies as well. When did we get our new bodies? At the rapture. These are man-made judgments. God's divine judgments now are going to start. Verse 12. I looked when he opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood. I got some slides here for you. nuclear things are flying around. Is this like a nuclear winter? If there's enough debris in the air, the sun actually takes on a reddish hue, not a black one. Would you agree with me? And if there's enough debris, like when Mount St. Helens erupted, you don't see the sun at all. Our soldiers who were liberating Kuwait when all of the wells were set on fire, putting such particulate in the air, it was as if you were at midnight. This is different. This is describing the sun as what? Black. This is not particulate in the air. I submit to you that this is a solar eclipse. I can't say for sure. The moon comes in front of the sun. There's the phases. Can you see the corona of the sun shining all around? And you see what appears to be a blackened sun. Now, what about the moon of blood? Here in the northern hemisphere, the phases of the moon always happen to our south. Near the west is when it's in its new moon phase, and it becomes a sliver moon. Toward our east, that's when we see our full moons. The sun is behind us, shining on the face of the moon. When the Earth's shadow moves in front of the moon doesn't go black like the sun does. The rays of the sun are refracted around our atmosphere, and it moves to the red shift side of the color spectrum. What falls on the face of the moon is a reddened, blood-colored hue. The Old Testament way of saying that this is a blood moon, or if you will, a lunar eclipse. The Bible says that when God put the sun and the moon in the sky in Genesis, it was for light day and night for sure, but also the Bible says it is my timepiece. The sun and the moon are my timekeeping device. See, humans keep changing the calendars. But don't let that fool you. Watch for the sun and the moon. They will be for signs and for seasons. Next slide. There are seven feasts of Israel every year. It begins on the Jewish month of Nisan, the 14th of Nisan. It starts the seven feast season, Passover. Roughly 7 months later, the seven feasts of Israel, all prophetic, come to an end with the seventh feast called Tabernacles. And then the next year it'll happen again. What are the sun and the moon for? For signs and seasons. Last century, a peculiar phenomenon happened. On a Passover was a full lunar eclipse or a blood moon. 7 months later, another full lunar eclipse happened on Tabernacle. Is that unusual? Yes. The very next year, it happened again. Passover and Tabernacles. It only happened twice last century. 1948, did something significant happen regarding Israel? And in 1967, did something significant happen regarding Israel? Israel becomes a nation in 1948, and they get Jerusalem back in 1967. It didn't happen 5 centuries in front of last century. And the last time it did, this tetrad, this blood moon sequence, happened in the year 1492. Does that ring a bell? That's when Columbus sailed the ocean blue. That's what we remember. Why did he leave on the dates that he did? Very likely because the Spanish Inquisition had put their foot down. All Jews will be out of Spain on a certain date. So what, you might say? If you do your history, you'll find out that all of the nations of Europe were saying the same thing. It was Spain that was one of the last to enact an official governmental policy of systematic extermination and expulsion of the Jewish people. 1492. This century, it's going to happen again. Guess when? In April of this year. Let's look at it. April 15th, you better have your taxes done. A full lunar eclipse happens on Passover. Roughly 7 months later, October the 8th, there's another full lunar eclipse on Tabernacles. And the very next year, our year 2015, April 4th, this Passover, it happens again, and then also in Tabernacles, bookending a certain period of time, a Jewish year, and it's not done yet. Hit the go button, you know what else happens? On March 20th, that's Nisan 1. What's that mean? That's when I buy my Nisan. No. Nisan 1 is the beginning of their ceremonial year. A full solar eclipse happens. And then on Trumpets of 2015, a partial solar eclipse. What does this mean? I'll tell you. I don't know. But it means something. House lights all the way up. I don't know what that means, but I know that every time it happens, something significant happens regarding the nation of Israel. Let's finish our chapter. Verse 13. And then the stars of heaven. Are they literal stars? Probably not. That's the Greek word, astir. And it means any heavenly body. This could mean asteroids, meteors, bolides. Fell to the earth as a fig tree drops its lake figs when it is shaken by a mighty wind. Then the sky receded as a scroll, and when it was rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place. This earthquake that is mentioned previously is so significant that it shakes all the mountains down to an average height. Islands, of course, are really mountains in the ocean. And the kings of the earth, verse 15, and the great men, and the rich men, and the commanders of the mighty men, every slave, every free man, when God is shouting from the heavens, angels flying over, broadcasting how to get saved. And they say, no, no. And all of these things are happening. What do you do? And the earthquake is so severe that the mountains are falling down. Here's what they did. They hid themselves in caves. I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer. But if we're having significant earthquake scenarios, is a cave really where you want to go? There's an insanity to sin. They hid themselves in caves and the rocks of the mountains. Are the mountains being leveled? Why would you want to hide around big rocks in the mountains? And they said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand? This floors me. Instead of saying, I give up, Lord, King's X, uncle, I give you my life. I do not want to be a casualty. You're right, Lord, I give you my life. That's not what they do. Instead of them falling on the rock, they cry out, rocks fall on us. And I wrote in my Bible, gee, boys, you think that's really going to help? Instead of falling on the rock, they cry out for any other way other than the real rock. And before we cluck our tongue at this insane option to try to deal with God's move, do you know who else this is sort of true of? Instead of me falling on the rock within the current situation that I'm in, what am I sort of tempted to do? Oh, some other rock, please fall on me. The insanity of sin. Hebrews 10 verse 26, and we'll end here. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there is no longer remaining a sacrifice for our sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation, which will devour the adversaries of God. Let's all stand together. I would much rather talk about all the cool things that God does, and God loves to do cool stuff. But I want you to know, how many of you heard that Russia has, they're not using the word invade, but they are messing around with the Ukraine? Quick question for you. After the Soviet Union was dissolved in the 90s, do you know who the number three superpower who had the most nuclear weapons of all the earth after the United States and after Russia? You know who number three was? It wasn't China. It wasn't the UK. You know who it was? Ukraine. That's where the Russians kept all of their nuclear warheads and delivery systems. They want it back. You know how you say the Russians in Bible prophecy? You say, King of the North. So what's the big deal with Crimea? That's where their Black Sea Fleet had been headquartered for all the years of the Cold War. They want it back. Last week, all the eyes of the world were focused on a little city where the Winter Olympics was held, Sochi. So, right around the coast is the Crimea. It's as if God says, hello! And we're missing it, I think, sometimes. Bashar al-Assad in Syria is mostly being propped up and kept in office. You know by whom? Russia. Let me rephrase that. Assyria, one of the nations mentioned in the book of Revelation. And the Assyrian is one of the titles of the Antichrist. Is being helped by Gog and Magog, the king of the north. Oh, we are living in the most amazing times. We got blood moons coming next month. I don't know what it means, but it means something. Would you join me in prayer? Lord Jesus, I thank you and praise you that one of the crowns that you give, you reward your believers with, are those who are excited about your coming. Lord, I thank you so much for yesterday. I spent time with a whole lot of Christians from our community. Different praise teams led worship, and it was fun, and it was exhilarating, and many were jumping up and down, and hands were raised, and passion was flying, and all that is absolutely wonderful. But not one of the speakers dared say, is there sin in your life? Are you stopping the sin? Are you aware of these events happening around you? And who are you telling about it? One of the presenters asked the penetrating question, which one of you so excited about worshiping God, which of you has literally shared the gospel with anybody in the last year? There was a dead silence. That's not what we want, Pastor. We want to just come together and listen to great music and worship and feel the presence of the Lord. But I'm not really interested in changing the sinful ways that I am conducting my life. Oh, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name, may we at Harvest, or those within the sound of my voice, Lord, may we be sober to the times in which we live. Family, friends, people that you work with, if you're not going to tell them, who will? I know that by and large you're going to get, shut up, rocks fall on me. But at least would you put it out there, what Jesus has done in your life. And these events that we've looked at today, it's coming. It's coming. Jesus said, will I find faith on the earth? Oh, I pray, Lord. Father, I pray that you would make us all a little bit more sober as we read the headlines and we see these prophecies coming true in our own life, within our own vision. Lord, make me be sensitive to share with whomever you lead me to share with. In Jesus' name, and all the loved ones of the Lord said, amen. Amen.